about crypto, which way to go, me right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.
Hello and welcome in. It's for whatever reason, maybe I'm Vogel or something, but it's 6:53 p.m. And we're getting started with Crypto Junkies. It's going to be our podcast that we're focusing on bringing value to the people that we care about. So our friends, the people we love, and hopefully you, because you're going to be joining our community. We're going to talk a little bit about our personal story, who we are, how we got started, where we're at, and where we want to be in the future, especially in this 2022. Since 2021 seemed to be the year of NFTs, and we just want to take advantage, and we're so grateful and blessed. So we're going to go ahead and start off. I'm going to let my friend here start and say who he is and give you a little bit of background.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for clicking on our podcast. My name is Alexis Morales, also known as Havoc in the gamer world and in the crypto NFT space. Can you help me with that first bullet point? What are we talking about?
So basically just talk about, you know, what got you started. When's the first time you heard about NFTs or crypto? What did it look like in your daily life?
Man, to be honest, the first time I heard about crypto was on Reddit a couple years back. I don't know if y'all remember, but it was like 2009, 2010 when we kind of first got a glimpse of what Bitcoin was. And that's when there was a huge bull run for Bitcoin. And I remember that it was at like $20, and then it turned to $200, and then it turned to $2,000, and then it turned to $20,000. And every single increment, you were always like, oh, it can't go any higher. But then it just goes higher.
So I remember Bitcoin coming out like when we were...
Time out. Introduce yourself, sir.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? So I go by the name of Daniel Scalito, aka Thunder Monkey in the crypto world. I am an electrician by trade, a master electrician. So I was introduced to crypto on the way home one day from work. I was on the radio, I was listening to the radio, and I was listening to somebody talk about Top Shot coming out with these NBA clips in the NFT world. So I brought it to my friend's attention, and we kind of spoke about it for a little bit, kind of saying like, oh, you know, this digital collectible stuff doesn't really make sense. It was kind of, we're kind of skeptical about it at first, right? And I think Havoc can attest to that, where we were just discussing, you know, is this really going to be the future of our currency, you know, other than crypto already, you know, existing in our lives?
Let me ask you a quick question. What were you skeptical about?
So the whole thing is like the digital aspect of it, right? So it didn't click to me how something digital could have value, because for a very long time there was companies out there that were doing already digital things, right? So, you know, there was Pokemon trading cards. You were able to redeem special codes and offers that they had on their packages, and you were able to get digital things. But with NFTs, they're yours to keep. I think I was having a hard time trying to grasp that concept of
the value
of these NFTs, right? I'm still, I think to this day, I'm kind of just skeptical about the situation, but at the end of the day, you pay attention and you don't risk all your money into NFTs, right? And this is not financial advice to begin with. You know, and you guys want to add to that, you know, what do you think of NFTs, and, you know, how do you feel a certain way about them?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing, and then I want Raul to introduce himself and give his thoughts. But I would definitely agree with you that I was extremely skeptical, and it's become a meme already where there's a lot of individuals who don't understand the value of crypto and NFTs. You know what they say?
What do they say?
Oh, I can just download the JPEG and I'll have the exact same thing you have.
Yeah, the right click, save the image.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing. Like, it's actual ownership of an actual non-fungible token.
Right, the smart contract.
Exactly. I'll stop there and I'll let Raul introduce himself, who he is. And
yeah, awesome. I love what you guys are saying. And so my name is Raul. And I go by Ragnar 4, don't forget the 4, on the crypto space and pretty much gaming in general. What got me started, right?
pretty much Gary V. Like he's been my freaking savior, and it's crazy for me to say something like that. Like I'm a fanboy, but it's just the utter truth. I've been following him for many years, probably 6 to 7 years, and you know, throughout my life, I haven't had the easiest life or the best, you know, counselship or like, where do I need to go to be successful, like a role model. But I was really able to attach myself to the message that Gary V was spreading. So luckily enough, because of me following him and following what he was saying, I was able to get in on VFriends. And VFriends was a project launched by Gary V in May 2021. His first NFT project. It's crazy because it's been the easiest conviction play of my life. So usually when you're making these big moves, when you're spending a lot of money, you know, you're usually like very stressed. Like what happens if this, you know, if it goes wrong, if it goes south, right? Because it's real money that you're investing. And again, not financial advice. But I ended up investing $44,000 into VFriends in May, and that has turned, and 7 months later, it's been ridiculous what it has turned into. I'm not gonna go exactly into the numbers, but I did get a bunch of the spectacular ones, or three of the spectaculars, and very good characters in that VFriend ecosystem, so it's been amazing. It's literally changed my life.
Bro, you can't leave us in the dark. Give us a glimpse of what 44,000 could kind of turn into.
Yeah, this is not liquid yet. You know, it's not like I've made it liquid, but essentially 44,000 to $1 million plus.
Wow.
Within literally 7 months.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Congrats. And I remember we were sitting at a bar one day at a brewery, and we were discussing Turo about VFriends. And it was a few of us, you know, gathered around. Roel mentioned VFriends. As you know, kind of what I mentioned before, we were all kind of skeptical of the situation. Like, should we get into this NFT craze that was about to blow up in the year of 2021? I mean, really, we kind of missed it in that beginning, right? We could have got into it. I think at that time it was high risk, of course, with anything. You know, everything's high risk to begin with. We could have gotten into it, but we didn't just because we were skeptical about the whole situation.
So I just wanted to say one thing. So when we were at that bar and Raul was talking to us what he was doing, that he was going to invest $30,000 to $44,000 into a VFriends and just the NFT crypto space, all of us, no doubt, 100% in my mind, I knew that everybody that wasn't Raul was skeptical of his decision.
Yep.
We all thought, I'm sorry to say, but we all thought you were stupid at that moment in time.
No, I agree.
There's no way in hell that I would spend $44,000 on a JPEG like a meme suggests.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But guess who's the millionaire?
No. I mean, he took the risk on that, right? I mean, knowing that at any given time, you could lose it all.
Yeah.
At any given time. But, you know, you were the guy. And I think at the end of the day right now, we all kind of look up to you.
Yeah,
in this space, like you're doing it big, man.
Yeah, thank you guys so much, and it's crazy because we're here having a heart to heart, us three, about our journey so far, and like, yeah, I know that when I went in, a lot of people thought it was stupid, and like I smile now because you say it, and obviously I knew then, but like you say it now to my face, I understand. Like it's very normal, right, for like a risky investment like this. But then, like, you know, being right, like it makes you feel very good.
It validates the conviction.
And you know, I just appreciate you guys as friends being able to tell me that you thought it was stupid, because some people won't even tell you like when you're doing something stupid or whatever the case may be. But I'm just so like, and then hearing y'all say that y'all. How y'all feel about me, you know, that y'all respect what I'm doing and you appreciate it. It makes me feel good, you know? And
yeah, because fake friends would, you know, doubt you. And then once you succeed,
yeah,
they'll be like, oh, I always believed in you, bro. I was talking about your side.
Nah, bro.
We did doubt in the beginning. Yeah, no, that's fine. So yeah, that's what got me started, the VFriends. We've been going, you know, hardcore. I don't know, what was it, just because of the success of, like I told y'all, like, hey, I'm a fucking millionaire, or like, what transitioned y'all? Because I know in our group of guys, we, like you said, we were not about it,
right?
But then came a moment, and now all of us are in.
Absolutely. And my big moment, my catalyst, where I had my paradigm shift, because I was always taught that stocks were the way to go, that mutual funds, that index funds.
10%.
Yeah, you know, compound interest, one turns to into 1.1, and then next year it turns to 1.22, and then next year it turns into 1.34 or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I was always taught that old mentality where if you put your money in mutual funds and you put your money in index funds, by the time you're 65, hey, you'll be a millionaire, right?
Right.
But you're 65. You feel me?
Yeah.
I didn't want to live that life. I didn't want to be 65 and know that, you know, the times that you're supposed to live life, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, were already gone. I'm old and rich, but
what did I do?
What did I do? It doesn't matter. So for me, crypto and NFT gave me the opportunity to become that millionaire before I turn 31, 32. And that's where I'm at. So I guess back to your point, I know this audience would know this moment in time. Reddit, Wall Street Bets, as y'all are familiar with, we were investing in a lot of meme stocks, right? What were the big ones? AMC,
GME,
BlackBerry,
War,
some other ones. Naked was a big one at a certain time. So me personally, I grabbed my 401k and I put majority of my money into BlackBerry. I bought it.
That's some degenerate shit, man.
Degenerate.
And what fucked up?
I bought like $30,000 worth of BlackBerry at $8, and it shot up all the way to $26. I've never seen so much money accumulate within 1 week. What does Robinhood do? They were losing so much money on GME. They were losing so much money on BlackBerry. They were losing so much money on AMC that they stopped trading these stocks. You could no longer buy these stocks. All you could do was sell. So they manipulated the market, and the stock price of BlackBerry went from $28, shot all the way down to $8.76.
Yeah. And I think that's the first time that's ever happened, right? In the space at all. Like, we've never seen, well, at least in our, you know, in our generation, I don't think we've ever seen anything like that happen. Like,
right.
To where they halted anybody from buying, from selling a certain amount. And I mean, that they manipulated the market.
Right.
And it just goes to show that when we, the individual, lose money on the stock market, it's our fault. It's our problem. But when the big corporations, when the big players, when the people who control the money start losing money, they change the rules.
Right.
And that, at that moment in time, I realized that stocks were the move. Because guess what? There's someone out there that controls that. You know, when it comes to the NFT space and when it comes to crypto, no one controls it. You know who controls it?
The people.
Yeah, people, the community. Community. And then I feel like that's what makes me feel good about the, you know, decentralized crypto. And I think that's like one of the first things we had ever discussed. I think during high school, probably like 2011, 2012 is kind of where I found out about Bitcoin. I knew what it was, but I was too young to understand how to make a script and be able to create Bitcoin and Ethereum and stuff like that. But, you know, decentralized, I like them because they're deinflationary, right? So they pretty much prevent what our US dollar is doing right now. Right. So to a sense, I would think so, right?
Yeah.
Safe to say that I think, no, not financial advice. I think it's a good investment for many of us and for future people getting into the crypto space, is to get into something having to do with crypto, because I think, you know, with the way inflation is going right now, the way it's been for 2021 going into 2022, inflation has been a big part in our lives right now.
Inflation is an all-time high. The last time that inflation has been this bad was in 1989 or something like that.
And that's insane.
It's insane.
What is that, like 30 years ago, 31 years ago.
Yeah. And also, like, talking about inflation, the value of the dollar continues to go down every single year. And our cost of living continues to go up. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of you at home have noticed, like, when you go grocery shopping, like, shit's expensive.
Yeah, it's up like 10%.
Yes.
Buying groceries.
Yeah.
I remember back in, like, when we were young, 2008, 2009, we're in middle school, maybe barely going into college. I remember advisors would tell us, hey, if you make $50,000 a year, you're making a good living.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have a house,
yeah.
You'll have a car, you'll have a family, you'll have a foundation. Guess what? $50,000 can't buy shit anymore.
No. Yeah. I mean, well, let's go back to like the success that I had. It's a little bit hard for me, and I'm just going to say this up front. It's a little hard for me, you know, because right now I honestly feel the it guy in our NFT group just because of the success, but I haven't cashed out,
right?
And it can go to zero.
Yeah, 100%.
So like, I'm not here acting or trying to act any different or be some pompous asshole or like, I got money, blah, blah, blah. But I'm here for an opportunity. I'm here for my family. I'm here for my friends. I'm here for people who haven't had the opportunity to get into something like a gold rush. You know, when you're a lower socioeconomic,
right,
you don't get these fucking opportunities.
No.
Right now, the lower socioeconomic class has a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
Like, we bought in the group chat, some of us bought a painting. I think you did too, Thunder, for $100. That shit is fucking $1,400 right now.
Right.
Some of us who bought $500, you know, worth of something, now it's close to 7,000. Like, where the fuck, where is that happening at? It's not.
In what other space or realm does that opportunity exist?
Right.
And honestly, I don't think there is one.
And I think they still say, like, NFTs are early. All crypto, if you can get in now, you're early. And you know, I don't know what the statistic is on it. I don't know how true that is, but you know, if you have people with a lot of money saying that we're early into the space, then you know, I'm going to follow that because I would have to agree. There's a lot of projects, but there's not enough to be overwhelming to a certain extent.
Right.
I mean, it feels really good being in the space right now, being into it early. You know, I know in the beginning it was kind of like Dogecoin that was popping off. That's kind of what I feel like introduced a lot of people into this NFT space.
With GameStop.
I mean, GameStop, and then, you know, Dogecoin being on Robinhood, it shot up. But, you know, Robinhood being Robinhood, the same thing with crypto is they halted the, you know, you being able to trade your crypto, which, I mean, if you guys didn't know, on Robinhood, you don't actually own your crypto. You just, it's, you know, it's the wallet for it. It's Robinhood owns the crypto. They just allow you.
It's captive.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you run into situations like that.
I did want to say one thing that you just kind of spoke on is, are we early in the market, in the space? Are we like already at the peak, or are we already in the downfall of the space, right? I want to give you an anecdotal story. And this happened when we were at Cedar Creek. Shout out. It's a bar over here in Houston, Texas.
Let's go.
So we were giving away $300, $400, $500 of Gary B's 12.5.
Yeah, 12.5. Hold on, I have the book here. I mean, it's not part of the fucking name.
I mean, the guy made me $1 million. Might as well.
Might as well.
Give a proper shout out.
All right, tell it. It is 12.5, leveraging the emotional ingredients necessary for business success. So anyway, we're giving away about 500-600 books of these. We just had one question for the audience, for the people at Cedar Creek that were taking the book from us. And
yeah.
You know what that question was?
Real quick.
Go for it.
And also, everyone, the people at Cedar Creek, not everyone, but most, they make a decent living, okay?
Yes.
So it's not like they're lower socioeconomic, you know, yet to kind of pass that bridge.
Yeah, it's just middle-class people.
Middle-class people, some of them have some money to invest.
Right. So the question that we asked every single person that we gave this free book to was, what do you know about crypto and NFTs? 95% of every individual we spoke with knew nothing about crypto and NFT. You know what that suggests? We are early in the space, and the masses still are unaware of everything we're talking about.
But I have, you know, I have family and my own family. You know, you think, you know, family is going to want you to do good. But I have family who says, you know, that the shit's fake. You know,
tag them right now, bro.
It's not real money. You know, it's a cash grab. It's money laundering.
Even if that's true, even if everything they said is true, you still made $1 million, right?
Right. And
but it's not true.
It's not true.
Go on.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, like that Gary Vee stuff, I'm fucking hodling diamond hands till you know, way later, because something that people don't know is that in the NFT space, you think that it's just about investing in JPEGs or, you know, it's a fad, whatever the case may be. But in actuality, the NFT space is giving room for the average person to be an angel investor.
Shout out Kanye West.
Three terms that he just said that I want you to kind of describe what it is. You said hodl, you said angel investor, and you said diamond hands. What does each one mean?
Okay, you want to go for hodl, or we can go for one of
them? Well, so hodl, I feel like, is a big thing that Raul does that many of us don't in this space.
And just so you know, hodl means hold on for dear life.
So hold on for your dear life, right? So pretty much hodl, you want to hold on for the most part to your project, whatever you invest in, Ethereum, Bitcoin, NFTs. That's something Raul has done very well. I'm a paper ender. So there's not, you know, at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with taking profits on something that you think that's going to drop later in the future. There's nothing wrong with it. But there's, you know, there's a big term that's used in the NFT space and in the crypto space. You want to hold your assets until it reaches, you know, the maximum capacity of what you think your profit should be.
Correct.
Yeah.
And what's a paper hand?
Paper hand is being me is, you know, I see a 1,000, 2,000, or, you know, 0.5 ETH profit, I take it, right?
Yeah, let's
right
go.
There on the get-go. Right there and then, I see the one-day project go up, you know, 100%, 200%, right instantly. I'm the guy that's going to sell right off the bat just because understanding that, you know, crypto NFTs are very volatile in the space.
Exactly.
I'm the type of guy that I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my initial investment.
Right.
So why not take profits?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Any profit is still a good profit. You still win in that situation,
yeah.
Right?
Of course.
And also diamond hand was the other term. Diamond hand and hodl was close, synonymous, right?
Yeah. So with the reason that you want to diamond hand, which means that you're not going to sell, the opposite of
paper hand,
is because we're so damn early. Whenever you're early, you know, you're the first one to buy before the hype and the masses and the quantity of people who want it get there. Fortunately enough, I've been able to invest and diversify a good amount where, and thanks to my job and what I do there, that makes me money. And it's been, in my opinion, what gives you the most gains, because I've also been a paper hand and I am a day trader. You know, I've made $1 million, but that's sitting there. I'm not letting that go. But I also have day traded the rest of the way, you know, so I've made money and all that stuff. But where I've won immensely is by not looking at the damn project. Like, I invest, I believe, there's a reason why I believe, and I just forget about it. And then all of a sudden, 5 months, 8 months later, it's at an astronomical price once everyone starts to buy in. And that's the crazy part, because it's only 8 months, you know?
It's crazy that I think about this, but we have polar opposites here. We have paper hands, Thunder Monkey, who takes a quick profit. If he sees 0.1 ETH profit, that man takes it, right? Then we have Ragnar, we have Raul right here. This man is diamond hands. He will be in a project for 3-4 years because he believes in the project and he doesn't care about the risk. He knows and believes in the project. I really want to ask both of y'all, first Raul and then Thunder Monkey, don't you get anxiety holding on to these projects?
You do get anxiety, but you have to play with money that you can lose. And Gary Vee, and I keep mentioning him, but he always brings it up, only play with what you can lose, because unless you're a day trader, like your thing isn't to invest and get out. Like your thing is to invest in something that you believe in. And that makes it a little bit easier. And also just time in the space, being in the space more in the NFT space and the culture, and understanding that there's going to be ups and downs, and there's going to be losses, there's going to be winters. So like there's going to be crypto winters where people are dumping Ethereum, and for whatever reason, people are scared of the market and what's happening.
And on the exact opposite, instead of getting anxiety from holding the project, do you not, Thunder Monkey, do you not get anxiety of selling something that you know is going to pop off later on?
Yeah, so it's definitely bothersome, right? So I'd say about 2 weeks ago, you know, without getting too deep into it, 2 weeks ago, I got into a project called Alien Friends. I got two of these at 0.11 that, you know, that was probably what, like $500 each?
What your cryptocurrency?
With Ethereum. Okay. Ethereum. So $500 each on a platform called OpenSea, though I guess, you know, we'll discuss later in a future episode. I sold them for 0.1 profit each. I regretted it. So
you sold that 0.21 somewhere
around? So 0.21, something like that. Just made a little, you know, quick flip. But just like a week ago, this project shot up to almost 4 ETH, which was almost 12 to 14,000, which means that I could have walked out with a profit of $23,000 to $24,000
within how long?
Thunder Monkey, how does that make you feel?
No, I mean the feeling is it's horrible. I mean I
fuck.
Definitely look up to Roel in the aspect of he diamond hands everything. And that's kind of put in my perspective that holding is probably the best thing to do.
So let's bring it back to reality. What would you have done with that $23,000 to $24,000?
I definitely would have pulled, you know, I'd say half of it, you know, put it into my bank account. Maybe not. I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff out there, and I, you know, we'll discuss it later in a different, you know, another podcast about staking, making interest off of that money that you make, because there's plenty of projects out there that'll give you a percentage of what they make compared to what your bank will give you. Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America. You guys have like $100,000 in your bank account, they'll give you $1 per, you know, the interest
per month,
per month. You know, you'll make maybe $50 to $100 a year, which is ridiculous in a sense.
I got those 30 cents.
You've got those 30 cents.
50 cents on a good day.
Yeah, you should be grateful, bro.
And then, you know, you look into these crypto projects, and there's some out there, and we'll discuss it in the future, but they'll give you 500, 1,000% in compound interest.
And now going back to Raul. So the same way we're talking about what you would have done with the gains you could have done, let's go back to you. You do have those unrealized gains. You do have that 1 million. Why not cash out?
I'm a very giving person, and I want to help my family and my friends and the people that I love. So going back to the whole inflation thing and whatnot, like, yeah, I can cash out a mill, but is that going to give me financial freedom? No, it's not.
What does financial freedom look like to you?
Well, financial freedom to me is being able to, you know, live comfortably, provide, you know, in a nice home, in a nice area. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying a nice area just because, you know, I've lived in the ghetto and, you know, the hood here in H-Town for almost all my life.
Right.
And I come from the bottom, and I was on Metro for most of my life, you know, through...
What's Metro?
Metro Lyft. So pretty much just public transportation where you pay to get, you know, get taken to where you need to be. And I lived in a bad area, so I would have to take... in middle school, I took a bus to a better area. Let's just say the Heights. The Heights. To go to school and whatnot. And I did that all through college. You know, I was taking Metro in college as well for the grind.
Crypto Junkies NFT Talk, turn it on. Crypto Junkies NFT Talk, that's my show.
Hello, let's talk crypto. Which way to go? Me right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.
Welcome back to Crypto Junkies. We took an intermission just to get our thoughts right, get our drinks right, ready to go.
What are you drinking?
some whiskey prepared by my main man, Alexis, right here.
What are you drinking, Thunderbolt?
I'm drinking a whiskey as well. I mean, I took down some Dos Equis, but, you know, we transitioned into some whiskey for some good times.
Yeah.
We're drinking some Glenlivet 12. Highly recommend single malt scotch. We're talking about why not cashing out $1 million.
All right. So we talked a little bit about the struggle. We're going to leave it there. We can get back to it, you know, next episode or another time. But, you know, $1 million really isn't what it was before. You know, I grew up 50K, 60K. You're doing good. You know, you're doing good. You can buy a house. Mm-hmm. You can live comfortably. You can buy groceries. You can fucking even vacation if you wanted to.
Right.
Now, 50K, 60K does nothing. You know,
it's nothing.
It's nothing. So I can't cash. I don't want to cash out. Because I believe in the project that I'm in. I believe in Gary Vee full-heartedly. I believe in this brand that's being built. Like, I'm an angel investor in Gary Vee's IP, you know, getting the V-Friends. And let's say Gary Vee, you know, V-Friends goes astronomical. It's a great freaking brand. They do what they gotta do. I'm an angel investor. So what that means is I'm gonna freaking make bank off of this company that Gary Vee is running.
Question, Ro, how much money is enough money for you to pull out and be like, you know what? I'm good. I'm done.
It would take, I'm going to go with my lucky number, which is 4. Give me 4 mil, mm-hmm. and I can make something happen, maybe do another business, real world, physical. But I am never going to let go of all my V-Friends.
Gotcha. That's how much you believe in a product.
Yes. We're early. It's only 44K to a mil in 7 months.
Yeah.
What happens in 5 or 10?
Thunder Monkey. So we're talking about how you paper hand, right? And there's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, you're still making money. If you think about it, everybody in our friends group has made money in crypto and NFTs.
Yep.
Not just single digits. We're talking about, you know, five figures.
Yeah.
Yes, all of us. Yep. Not one of us has lost money in the crypto NFT space. But here's the question I have for you, Thunder Monkey. If you continue to paper hand, do you think you will ever hit $1 million?
Probably not. I won't ever hit $1 million. And that's something that, you know, you kind of reevaluate yourself and you consider like, well, what should I do different in this NFT space? Should I continue being somebody that flips my NFTs, or should I be like Raul and hold what my assets are? Kind of just, my perspective, if you're that person that has a lot of liquidity and you're able to put in 100 ETH, 50 ETH, numbers like that into a project and flip, then by all means, I feel like that's a good way to make, you know, money in the crypto space. But somebody just starting off, you know, it sucks seeing these projects pop off and on a weekly basis.
Daily.
Yeah, on a daily basis, you see new projects appearing. It kind of is one of those things where you want to FOMO into these projects. And FOMO in this world is called it's the fear of missing out.
Correct.
I feel like that's been something that's, you know, kind of bothered me for a long time. I've had a fear of missing out on other projects that I could easily get into. So one of those things is that, you know, do I want to FOMO and, you know, make a small amount of profit, or do I want to hold in diamond hand and, you know, make, you know, 10 to 20 times of what I originally invested into a project? I think we got into a project a few months back, and that was called a Star Siblings, right?
Star Sailor Siblings.
Star Sailor Siblings.
They rebranded recently to NFT Siblings.
Okay.
Yeah,
the NFT Siblings. Mm-hmm. And I think my boy Havoc here, you minted a few of these
five
siblings, right?
So five siblings.
Okay, so five of them. So what did you do with that project? What was your experience?
We got to get some context, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So we have a group meet where we have, 8, 9, 10 members of this group.
It's 11 right now.
It's 11 members right now?
Yeah.
At the time when Star Sailor Siblings was going on, we're at 9.
Okay.
We all decided to create a hedge fund.
Yeah.
Where we all put $250 into our crypto NFT hedge fund. And collectively, we decided to choose a project and mint that project.
Right.
That project was Star Sailor Sibling.
You're skipping a step, though.
What?
We decided to hedge, or do a hedge fund, not hedge, after your games. So I was at work.
Okay.
And we were on Discord.
Yeah.
And it was me and Alexis, and Justin was on as well.
Right.
Shout out to my boy, Obi. Yeah.
Obi.eth.
What's up, boy? So we're on Discord, and I'm buying projects, and I'm like, Alexis, Star Sailor Siblings, they have this mint pass.
Yeah.
I'm going to get one.
Yes. Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So just to give a little context, I think I just got out of work.
Okay.
And I just joined the Discord, and we're playing Apex or Overwatch, or you and Obi.
Yeah, we're talking.
We're talking about Star Sailor Siblings. And you were talking about buying a min pass. Can you describe what a min pass is?
Yeah, Star Sailor Siblings, NFT Siblings now, we're releasing a mint pass so that you have early access to mint their project. Because in this space, minting, especially of popular projects, is very difficult because there's only 10,000. Everyone wants to get in. They want to flip. They want to make the fucking money. So usually you have to pay a high amount of gas fee. So gas fee, all it is a transaction fee that you're paying for. You can really kind of relate it to if you're getting an Uber or DoorDash, you're paying for them to go grab your food. The gas is your driver.
Exactly.
And now when there's expensive or popular project, let's say everyone and their mom has wanted Chick-fil-A at 12 from the same location, the person who is paying the higher gas fee, a premium fee, is the person who is going to get served. If you were cheap, etc., or you didn't pay enough, you wouldn't get serviced. And also yeah. the way that NFTs work, if your transaction fails, you lose the money that you paid.
Exactly.
So
that's why we ended up getting a mint pass.
Yeah. So I was like, yo, this is easy money, mint pass. Everyone's going to want to mint it. I did not expect what happened next to happen.
How much did we pay for that mint pass?
We paid like 200, 270 max.
How much is that in ETH? What does that mean?
Oh my God. Back then, at the time? Like
0.1
ETH?
0.1.
So there was so much value in the idea that you could pre-mint before the public sell. You could mint 5 Star Sailor Siblings a day before the general public could.
Yes.
So what's the value there? 1, you don't compete in gas wars.
Correct.
2, you are 100% able to mint 5
yes.
Star Sailor Siblings.
Yes. We had that pass. A couple of days before mint, the pass went up to
$4,000. $4,000.
So literally.
What was it, 1.5 ETH or something like that?
Yeah, at the time, yeah.
At the time.
Because 1.5 is not way more.
So 0.1 ETH to 1.5 ETH in a couple of days.
In a couple of days. So 200, 270 to 4,000.
Yep. That's my first big win in the crypto space.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's where it gets tricky because Alexa sold, made money. I did it. And then that shit crashed.
Describe that. Well, what did you do differently than what I did?
So you sold your pass, you made your money, and with that money you minted 5.
Correct.
Right.
I mint 5.
Yes.
And then I sold everything.
Yes.
The 5 and the mint.
Before the actual reveal
Correct.
Of the project. And we'll get into that later so you guys kind of understand like how these reveals work.
Exactly. So basically, yeah, it's like opening a pack of Pokemon cards or Yu-Gi-Oh cards or
yeah.
something like that. And you just hope that when you do
one.
Open that pack, you get the rare one. You get the holo Charizard. I know you can kind of speak on this more because
yeah.
you actually do trade Pokemon cards and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So a big reason why we wanted to start this podcast is that And I have this written down, and I'm going to fucking cheat and look at it, but it's just something that I wrote down to the guys and in the group, and I just wanted to share with everyone. And, you know, and I'm talking about how I'm personally passionate about building a community of people who are into collectibles, trading, NFTs, Web3, sports betting, financial freedom, because that's the type of people that we are.
Right.
And I want to provide a community to get like-minded people together. And I want to provide it because Alexis and Thunder, they provided that for me. So I didn't have a group of guy friends to talk about collectibles and
right.
the shit that I'm doing until Alexis invited me over to yeah. to his party with his main friend that he hangs out with. And they took me in and gave me that community. And I've been fucking striving ever since.
Absolutely.
And sharing the love and sharing everything that I know. And that's why I want to bring that same feel to you. Like, if you like trading, if you like collectibles, if you like, you know, hanging out with cool people who want to be successful, people who like hustling, people who come from the gutter, but we're not going to stay there. Like, you're at the right fucking place. And
great. Yeah. And I think one day, like, that would be a cool, that'd be a great goal for us to have is, you know, maybe one day we'll be the guys that do a convention and at, you know, NRG Stadium here in Houston, Texas, you know, we could take it across the whole United States, across the world, where people from around the world come together as a community and we get introduced into all these new projects in the NFT right. space and the crypto world, which, you know, I think would be a great thing. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's all about your community and it's about the leadership within the community itself.
And if you want to join our group me, there it's one ETH to join the community, so let me know. Havoc.eth. But going back to our story, because I think we had a really good flow and I think people are interested to know what happened with the Star Saver siblings, right? So you didn't make money. I personally made money
yes.
in that one project.
Right.
What did we do differently, right?
Okay. So pretty much you were able to sell, you know, you sold this old, you're like content with the money.
Right. So let me kind of talk about that a little bit. Well, do you remember what the price was to mint Star Sailor siblings? It was like 0.1, right?
Yeah.
Or
0.08.
0.08.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, which is pretty common.
Okay. So just to kind of put it in perspective, right? So we bought a mint pass at $250, which is 0.1E. That mint pass allowed us to mint 5 Star Sailor siblings before the general public did.
Correct.
Each Star Sailor sibling was 0.08 ETH, right?
Yes.
So 0.4 ETH for 5 Star Sailor siblings.
Yes.
That was the mystery package that was supposed to be revealed 1 week later, right? But you could still sell that starter pack, that mystery package, to
yes.
the general public.
Yes. And
yeah.
So, because you got to mint early, you can sell right away for profit because of the demand and because people are paying for possibly getting one of the rare ones. So,
exactly.
You did you did a good play
right.
In this scenario, and you sold your shit before it revealed.
Before it revealed.
So, you were able to sell from 0.25 to 0.4.
I sold all 5 of them for 0.4. Each.
Damn it, that's a great.
ETH.
Nice, nice.
To ETH. That's what I came out of that.
That's great, man.
And so I'm like this. So this was like when ETH was what in the three.
That's like
the 2000s.
Yeah,
2000.
No, like it was like 23.
Yeah, to be honest, it was like 23 to 25.
Yeah, and then the dips would be to 1700. Y'all remember?
Yes, 1900. Yeah.
Now the dips are 32.
It is. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is I just joined our Discord and I just had $250 in crypto from the CRO from crypto.com. And I just moved that into ETH and bought a mint pass. And by doing 4 or 5 different actions, I turned $200 into fucking $8,000.
Yeah. And more right now, like, because ETH is worth more, right?
Yeah.
But $8,000, yeah. And that's another great call out, because in this space, it's all about choices, making choices. It's about decision making. A lot of people are scared to invest, which makes sense, right? But you will never change your current position without taking risk or without fighting your fucking ass off to change the path and the course that you're going down.
Yeah. For example, the Albert Einstein quote that says if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result,
yeah,
then you're just, it's the definition of insanity, right?
Insanity.
If we're trying to change our day-to-day lives, if we're trying to create wealth, if we're trying to, you know, work from the gutters, work from the hidden, work from Fifth Ward, work from Monty Beach, work from
Northside,
right? we're from, you know, we're not from the good sites. We're not from Willis. We're not from River
Oaks.
We're not from Heights. We're not from any of these places, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make choices and decisions to change the day-to-day realities that we live in, right?
Yes, exactly. So this space is about choices.
Right.
So for the first choice is I'm going to hunker down and I'm going to fucking go in. I'm going to do my 50 hours of homework. I'm going to find out what this NFT space is about that everyone's talking about. All the possibilities of earning money, because let's be real, right now the NFT space is hyped as fuck because there's so much goddamn money in it,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, we care about the technology, but we care more about the dollars we're seeing.
Right.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Definitely right now is a time to get in because it's the first gold rush. You know, I'm getting older, but I'm young as fuck. Like Gary Vee says, I don't give a damn. I'm 27. I'm going to be 28 in a couple of months. But like, this is the first time ever that I've experienced a gold rush in my generation.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's the dot-com boom. Like, we're a year behind the dot-com boom right now. We're a year behind the gold rush in San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you know, they call this, just for you guys to know, the Web 3.0. So
yeah.
So apparently, you know, us growing up in the 90s, when the internet was blown up, it was considered Web 2.0. But so, you know, and we'll further discuss that in future episodes of.
Well, let's talk about that. Do y'all know that what is the difference between Web 1.0, 2.0, 3.0? Is Web 1.0 just like text based, like WordPress?
I think so. Like, sort of like a document, like Word document,
yeah,
is considered 1.0.
The military was the first to have
correct
internet.
Yeah,
because
they funded all of them.
Web 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Harvard and I don't know what other college, but they created the, you know,
for the military,
the worldwide web between them two.
Yes.
And then they shared that with literally the world, right?
Right.
That's Web 1.0.
1.0,
right?
Yeah. And then so Web 2, and we're talking out of our ass at this point.
Exactly.
We don't know everything about it.
Yeah.
We're,
yeah. Fact check us for sure. Somebody may be wrong.
Yeah. We're drinking too much whiskey.
Too much whiskey right now.
But Web 2.0. If I genuinely don't know what it is, I couldn't describe it.
I think
internet stocks. Internet stocks.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
So you think about like,
it's more interactive. It's not text-based. It's
interactive.
Think Yahoo.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Think Ask Jeeves.
Yep. Right.
So internet-based companies,
right,
who are being invested in and evaluated at a very high level.
Right.
So people were like investing and then making a hell of a lot of money.
So at that time, like you had like Apple, you had Microsoft,
Yahoo,
you had
Google.
Yeah, you have Google.
The main players.
I'm assuming
Webster.
AOL was,
yeah,
was part
there
of it in the 90s because we, you know, we grew up with all that stuff.
Net zero.
Yeah, that dial-up internet, you know, that's kind of the 90s thing is what we grew up with. But, you know, this Web 3.0 stuff is really just a wallet that signs into a website,
right,
and authenticates,
uh-huh,
that you're connected to that website.
I'm not even going to lie. I cannot give you a good definition of what Web 3.0 is. That's what your definition
is.
So
I think for the most part right now, because we're so early,
uh-huh,
that's what Web 3.0 is. Just from me doing hours of research, it's us connecting our wallet that consists of cryptocurrency,
right,
into a website. So let's say our wallet connects into Facebook. That's Web 3.0. Our wallet consists of an amount of currency. We have 1 ETH, 2 ETH, you know, just different currencies out there. You got Sol, Doge, and, you know, XRP and Bitcoin,
right,
and stuff,
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Ragnar, what would your definition be of Web 3.0? You always talk about it. You always, like, spit out, oh, yeah, we're in Web 3.0. What does that mean to you? I'm putting you on the spot right now.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, well, It's a whiskey, bro. All right, so it's the alcohol coming out of my mouth. But anyways, no, in my opinion, and what I've heard so far and have researched, Web3 is essentially the era of the smart contract, okay. Right? Like the start of the smart contract. So it's about having physical goods. I mean, not physical, sorry, digital.
Digital, yeah.
Digital goods that are verifiable and you can prove ownership, right?
Yeah.
So let's have an example. A lot of people like to clout chase. That's the era that we're from. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I catch a fucking Ferrari somewhere. I'm going to take a goddamn picture with it,
mm-hmm.
or fake, or I'm going to rent out a Ferrari. You know how some of the celebs
yeah.
do, et cetera, et cetera. With Web3, the way that it functions, both sides of the equation must be true for it to transact and for it to happen.
Absolutely.
So that means it's verifiable.
Yeah.
So if you buy something, I can go on the grid on Web3. And the way that I like to describe the grid is like, think of the matrix.
Yeah.
Think of the green coding. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you're old enough, you know, I know we got some youngsters here that don't even watch the matrix. It's green coding. That's the platform. That's the grid.
Right.
Depending on the coding is what will be created. You know, so that's how I kind of think about it. To simple,
yeah.
you know, like simple it down. Sort of thing.
No. I absolutely agree. I feel like Web 3.0 is like everybody has a say, or everyone could verify each other, right?
Right. Yeah.
I think we're getting around that time where we have to close out episode one of Crypto Junkies. Any final thoughts or anything you want to say?
I'm looking forward to these future episodes and informing everybody what the crypto and NFT space has to offer. You know, I think we all here have had a good amount of experience. You know, what we can offer to you guys, explain, you know, the mistakes that we've made, how to better yourself in this NFT space since it's coming up into the world.
Yeah, like, thank you so much for listening to the first episode of the podcast. We really, really appreciate you. This is something that we're doing for the community. This is something that we want to truly grow and be interested, be intrigued about what we're saying, because it's definitely not fluff. This is some real stuff that we're trying to get out to you because we're passionate and we love our friends. We have friends who listen to us or friends who watch what we're doing and they have questions. Maybe they have doubts or they're skeptical or they think we're stupid. But we want you to hear this because we want to share this opportunity with you. We don't want it to be where in 5 or 10 years you hear about what had happened in
yeah.
this space and you were an adult. The difference between, for some of us, is that we were fucking kids. We had no money. We hadn't put in the work. But if you're at a decent place where you put in some work, you might meet the fucking opportunity. And this is the opportunity.
Yeah. I personally know that crypto and NFT is the future. And doing this podcast will hold me accountable to continuously learn more about crypto and NFTs. So I know 10, 15 years from now, I know that I was an expert in that space. And I know, I'm telling you both of y'all, Thunder Monkey and Ragnar, I will become a millionaire because of crypto and NFT. I know it. And this podcast holds me accountable.
Yeah, we love to hear that. You know, we love to hear that from us. You know, that's great. You know, for us, everyone else out there, you know, we hope everyone finds their financial freedom. Is the whole goal, you know, of this podcast is understanding the education behind it.
We have so many seasons and so many episodes to come. Once again, this is Alexis Morales, aka wreckhavoc.eth, and I am joined with
Daniel, aka find me on Twitter, thundermonkey.eth.
So my name is Raul. You can find me on Twitter, Raul Alberto GC. That's my Twitter handle, but I go as Ragnar when I play, and I'm a fucking OG. We'll see y'all later. Thanks so much for having us.
And that is Crypto Junkies Episode 1 Introductions. Let's go.
Boom.
Crypto Junkies NFT Talk, turn it on. Crypto Junkies NFT Talk, that's my show.
Hello, let's talk crypto. Which way to go? Need right info. How I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.